Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a joy is it to gather together in the name of the Lord, praising the name of the Lord. Bible says, one we chase 1,000, two we put 10,000 into flight. A special blessing when God's children congregate, each with us individually, but when we are two or three, it's a special blessing that the Lord puts upon his people. That is prerogative, that's how he does his things. And no clay can say to the potter, why do you make me dust? So Lord, we thank you for being the means of us, blessing us, as we are in the midst of any place, anywhere in the world, where God's children are gathered together, two or three. So we bless you and we worship you, Lord. Understand that the world was framed by the word of God. So and we bless you, and then nothing was made, which wasn't made by the word of God. And the entrance to your word always gave us light. It's a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. So Lord, the whole Bible is our doctrine. We preach from anywhere from it, from Genesis to Revelation. And so we just pray that you bless the reading of your word this morning. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we have a calendar system today. Even ordinary man, we know that it's weird, right? You have the solar year that is 365 and a quarter year. And is this how it said in the beginning? Absolutely not. In the beginning it was not so. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. God knows the author of confusion. Not at all, you know. And there is another calendar, they call it the perfect year of 360 days, you know. And they also call it the prophetic or calendar year. I thought it seemed like that. Especially for the Bible as well as, you know. Well, it's called a calendar year because it makes the perfect calendar, you know, measurement. That 360 can be divided by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, no, no 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15, 18, 20, and so on. You know, 360 can be, you know, these are multiple 360 and so on, that, you know. So this one I want to talk about the loss and the restoration of the calendar year, see? So I tell you what the calendar year is, the loss and the restoration of the calendar year. Lost means there was something like that before, right? That was lost. How was it lost? And how is it going to be regained? You know? Well, it has long been noted that the calendar year is used in certain instances in prophetic reckoning. So that 360, day year was used in many places in prophecy in the Bible. For example, let's consider some of the term used in connection with the Great Tribulation, a book of Revelation, which is what I'm talking about now. How calendar year will be used at the time of the Great Tribulation. Revelation 12:14, we know that the man shall have been translated, the remnant of our seed, we are told, are to flee to the wilderness, Revelation 12:14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a time. What that was? A time and times, and then half a time. That's 3.5 years, really, you know, for the face of the serpent. That's one part of the tribulation, the remnant and so forth, the tribulation things and so on, that, you know. Revelation 11:2, we are told that Apostle John was given the reed to measure the temple. And verse 2 says that, but the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the Holy City shall they tread underfoot 40 and 2 months. Mark that one, 40 and 2 months. In terms of year, that's 3.5 years, right? Anyway, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, close in sackcloth. Those things are happening in the Great Tribulation. As you look at them, the time, and time, half the time, 40 and 2 months. They all say the same thing. They are all 42 months, or 350 days. So that is telling us that in the Great Tribulation and so forth, there will be measuring all those things. you know, in the 360-day year. Because a time and times, and not a time, it's 3.5 years of, you know, of 360 days as 1260. They are all the same thing. So that's an instance in the Bible where they use the, you know, the calendar year, you know, as measurement and so forth. Where the origin of 360 days is back in the Bible itself. No man make it. What we have today, the calendar system and the time have been manipulated over the years. We have the Julian calendar, we have the Gregorian calendar. We have men, popes manipulated things, you know, like what the Julian calendar, Julius Caesar was the author of that one, right? So and they move day back and forth, you know, so that the seasons don't go out ahead of the year or before it. So it got a lot of confusion? No, not really. So what was it the original? Talk about it a little bit. And what shall be in the future? Talk about it a little bit and so on. The origin of the 360 days. In comparing the chronology statements found in Genesis 7 and 8, which you don't have to read all of them, but you can look at it yourself, that this chapter refers to the flood, right? You know, so we can see that the pre-flood year was composed of 12 months of 30 days. You have to read those two chapters to see what I'm talking about, how they measure things, you know, something like that, you know, 12 months of 30 days. So the actual length of the year before the flood was 360 days. Though the antediluvians had a perfect calendar. And this is in sharp contrast, of course, to our present calendar, which has a year that is approximately 365.25 days. And interestingly, even in history, records show that that Egyptians, it is one of the first civilization, right? They measure year in 360-day year, even in Egypt, at the beginning and so on, that, you know. So anyway, so ancient Egyptians, they measure time in 360 days per year in those days and so on, before this modern age. Now what happened? See, I think the law and the restoration of the calendar year, the cause that came upon the earth has seriously disturbed it in many ways. For one thing, the climate evidently has been altered substantially. Because we know that when God during the creation week, I call it creation week, or I will call it the recreation week. Because in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created, that is bara, in the Hebrew. That's the only way. The other one, it's not only, it's just make. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is bara, that was created. The other one, and number two, all of a sudden, a void. So there are not as a void. What happened is God restoring again. The sun has been there, you know, and some of that, you know. It just, you know, that's a different story. You know, so we see the voice and some of that, you know. So in the, I call it the recreation week. You know, what follow after Genesis chapter 1. It's a recreation week that the whole soldier by itself and some of that, you know. Anyway, and so when God during the creation of the recreation week prepared the world for habitation, he made the observation in test, you know, and when they finished everything, said it was good. That's what he said. Said everything was very good. And there were no destructive storms at that time, as we know them today, but the earth was watered by a mist that went up from the ground. So at the recreation, if you want to call it, and so when that was created at that time, and so on, you know, there was no tornadoes. Not everything was in perfect order at that time. So, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days and years. So, and like I said before, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, when he finished all his work, that's what he said. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. How the Bible says, very good. How can the God of Jehovah make something not so good? It was very good. And since everything that he had made was very good, we will assume that he will create a year of convenient length for measurement of time too. I think so. And I don't think 365 and a quarter is anything but good, really, you know. I think the poorest kind of measurement that could be conceived, really, you know. As a matter of fact, it has been this odd solar year that came to be that has been one of the chief contributing factors which have thrown historical records into confusion. This is the past, you know. The calendar has had to be changed several times. Like I told you, you have the Julian calendar, you have the Gregorian calendar. You know why? Confusion for confusion. That's God. You know, something happened to the earth that caused all this thing to be so. Popes were making things and they were changing the time, you know, of this and that and so on, that, you know. Those medieval times and so on, that, you know. So much confusion was there and so on, you know. Anyway, so they do all these changes to the time to make allowances, you know, for the uneven number of days, so that the year will not get ahead or behind the season. That's why they do all those things and so on, that, you know. More changes are even being planned, advocated, you know, from time to time. But the truth is that the solar year of 365 and quarter days can never be perfectly coordinated into an orderly calendar. God is not the author of confusion. You know, I told you last week or two, I told you, or maybe somewhere else, scientists now find that the heart is feeling, a second more than supposed to be, you know, as well as, you know, and they are concerned. You know, even scientists are concerned that the heart is, you know, is feeding more than it should be. You know, anyway, so. Now, we know that all heavenly bodies are in motion. We know that. And they move in their respective courses or orbits. Sometimes it's kind of like science, right? Bible is a scientific book too. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, I said they are in motion, right? Scripture, Judges 5:20. They fought from heaven, the stars in their courses. They are moving. I see all the bodies are in motion, right? How the Bible tells us, the stars in their courses fought against the Sira, the Bible says. So the heart is not where it's an heavenly body to our heart. If you go to the moon, you see us like we are seeing the moon, right? They are all in motion. The heart is not only in motion, along its own axis once every 24 hours. That's why it is right here. If you go to England now, it's 8 p.m. there right now, right? So because of the moving of the heart. And the Creator himself, when he was here, he told us, you know, of his coming. To be in the bed, and to be in the spirit, he's the Creator. You know, one part of the earth will be in darkness, the other part will be day. Because he's the Creator, he knows all the foreigners, there's any science and all of that, you know. Anyway, so we see. So he moves around his axis once every 24 hours. And also, it moves around the sun too, not so apparent to the ordinary eye, but it is true. And it moves around the sun at the speed of 18.5 miles per second. That sun is moving around, the earth is moving around the sun at 18.5 miles per second. Or if you like, about 67,000 miles per hour. Or if you want to make it big, 584 million miles a year is how many might the earth travel when going around the sun. Anyway, well, how is the thing changed from 360 to what we are today? The gravitational forces which caused the flood also simultaneously disturbed the earth's orbit as to lengthen the year to 365 and a quarter days. Now half an idea where we're going to get Bible verses for it and so on. In other words, there is much evidence that just before the flood, the year was just 360 days long. And I've given Bible scripture, Genesis 8, 7 and 8. Go and look at it. How the chronology 30 days to a month. Over there and another thing. But the cataclysm was so much upon the earth that it upset the revolution of the earth around the sun and lengthened the year by 5 1/4 days. Yes.
Before the flood,
mm-hmm. 360 days to a year, 30 days to a month. Yes.
Okay, after the flood.
After the flood, that was what we're talking about right now.
Okay.
After the flood. So anyway, so now, this was apparent. Apparently, the result of the judgment that came upon this earth because of the antediluvian sin. That's why God allowed. The apostles of the antediluvians brought this catastrophe upon the earth. The earth orbit was thrown out of balance so that a year of uneven length, symbolic of the chaos caused by man's sin, came into existence. And this circumstance is referred to in the Bible. Psalm 82 verse 5. The last part says, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. See? Where? It's the foundations of the earth. That's right. In the back we talk about the foundation of the earth. We are not talking about foundations of concrete. No. Not really. That's no. Even some early settlers of the world, they think there's something underneath the earth that's holding it. We are in space, right? You know, we are all in space. You know, so if you are in the sun, even if you are on the moon, they see us, we are in space. So anyway, so it's not the foundation of concrete and things like that. You know, what are they then? What are the foundations of the earth? Bible does not leave us in darkness too unto that. Indeed, the scripture says in Job 26 verse 7 about what its foundations are and so on that, you know. He said this, so there's no pillar under the heart that is holding together. So to say that, you know, when it's a foundation, it's not a concrete foundation, because in Job 26 verse 7, he stretched out the north over the empty place and hanged the earth upon nothing. Is it going to meet himself? No. Doesn't, you know. Anyway, the foundations of the earth represent what? The balancing forces of the cosmos that hold the earth in its proper position. These balancing forces of the cosmos are what scientists call gravitation or centripetal force. Let me explain. So, the sun is the biggest, has in fact, like 90% mass of our solar system is the sun. It's the biggest, and if you want to measure them together, they say about 98%. If you weigh all things in our solar system, you weigh them, the sun carries 98% of the mass. So when you have a big body like that, it has a big, what they call gravitational forces and so on. And that gravitational forces of the sun is pulling all the planets that's moving around it, including our earth, you know. So you put them to itself, to keep them in orbit. Now, not only do we have the sun gravitation pulling our earth toward the center, we also have the earth spinning on its axis once every 24 hours. Scientists call it an inertia. It has an inertia and a force called the centrifugal force. So now, the pull of the sun towards itself and the spinning of the earth on its axis with this angular inertia that they have, these two things are equal and opposite. So they neutralize themselves and keep the earth in its orbit. So scientists say, well, anyway, the earth is where it is, and that's why how it works right there. You know, so Bible is the greatest scientific book of true science that is really possible and so on, that, you know. So anyway, so let's see. Now, the word of God speaks about this spinning force of the earth. So if it's true science, it has to be in the Bible, right? So the Bible shows us in the Bible that the earth spins. In Job 38 verse 12, has thou commanded the morning since that day and caused the day spring to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth as if it grabbed it by the poles, right? The end of the earth, as if it grabbed it by the poles, you know? That the wicked might be shaken out of it. Now look at verse 14. It is turned as clay to the seal. So, seen on its earth, on its axis, it turns the earth so that one part of it is facing the sun, another part is in darkness, and so on. Anyway, it is that should know, spoken of in the book of Job, So the heart, by its daily rotation on its own axis, is turned to the sun, as clay is turned to the seal. What Job is saying there by the Holy Spirit, it is turned to receive the morning and the spring, like Job said. That is, it is turned to the sun to receive its imprint upon it. So, if there's any true science, God must have spoken before, about it and so on. So, the heart is spinning around the sun, supposed to be 360 days, originally, but now it's 365 1/4 days. Not only that, it also spins around its own axis, each generating a force, according to what science now find out, and those two forces are equal and opposite. That will keep the earth in its orbit. Now, these two opposing forces, the gravitational force pulled on the sun or the earth, and the centrifugal force resulting from the earth's inertia, as it spins about its axis, tending to pull it away from the sun, are equal. So, the earth maintains a constant distance from the sun, and it is find out later, that's true. Anyway, summarily, the motion of the earth following its course around the sun, the motion of the earth following its course around the sun and its motion around its own axis constitutes the foundation of the earth, like we're talking about. These two forces operate to keep the earth in orbit about the sun and determine the length of our solar year. See? So, meaning in the beginning, it was 360 days, it said it's hard to move around the sun. But something happened after the flood that it now takes it 365 1/4 days to move around the sun. What was it? Anyway, the circumstances involved in the change of the length of the year are problems of physical science, really. Today it is known that the farther a satellite is away from the earth, the longer it takes to go around it. All the communication we have today are done by, you have Elon Musk, right? Shooting satellites into orbit, all kind of the Starlink, you heard of that before. They are all prolonged into an orbit around the earth, right? All of them around that. So the farther the orbit is away from the earth, the longer it takes the satellite to move around the earth. The same thing. So what happened was that at the time of the flood, the earth orbit was changed so that its orbit receded away from the sun. That means, according to scientific thing, in fact they say that scientists say that now for it to have moved away from the sun for 5 1/4 days, it means the earth has receded 1,000,000 miles, from the sun. That's what they say. So because from 365 1/4, that 5 1/4 days extra means that the earth has receded from the sun for 1,000,000 miles and has lost temperature about 2 degrees, they said, So all these combinations make all the kind of weather we see today to be what it is, Now, imagine yourself, you have seen sports people before. The track event, right? Let me show you the track event. Now, in track event, you see that you have innermost track, right? Innermost track and outermost track, Now, the time it takes you to run around the inner track, when I used to be a track person, they all want to take the inner track, right? Because it is easier, right? So, and to compensate for the difference in circumference of those circles, so those who are in outer track will be put ahead of those who are in inner track, right? That's right, that's how it works, right? That's the same thing as the solar system. So that's why the nearest planet to the sun is Mercury. So it has a smaller orbit. So it will have a shorter number of periods. And I can read it to you here. Mercury is the nearest, so it takes him 88 days only to go around the sun, where our own is going 365 days. The next planet is Venus. It takes 224 days and our heart, take 365. As you go away from the sun, you can see the increase in how long it takes this planet to go. So we are number 3, right? And we are now 365 and a quarter days. Now the next one is Mars. Mars takes 587 days. And the next one is Jupiter. Jupiter takes 4,000 days to go. As you receive, because you're busy, you're getting away from the sun. So look at the track. I showed you on the field, right? The way the same thing, I don't know that, you know. And Saturn takes 10,000 days. And Uranus takes 50,000 days. Neptune takes 60,000 days to go around the sun. So you know what I'm saying now? Just to repeat what happened during the flood and so on. Anyway, so this might have been what happened to the earth then. No, this is what people think, scientists think, or you know. Maybe it's a heavenly body. God caused it, you know, that's what happened. God caused a body, we don't know what it is, much, much bigger than our earth, to pass in the vicinity of our earth. Like I told you, the sun is the biggest, in fact, 98% of all the total mass of our solar system is in the sun. So if God will cause an astral body, or an astral body, it's a body, a heavenly body, like any other object, maybe an asteroid, and so that God lets you pass around the earth, and when it does, it will create a great gravitational pull, upon the earth at that time, and it will cause a great flood upon the earth. In fact, the Bible tells us the flood wasn't caused by just rain alone. Let's look at the Bible. It's caused by something. There are two sources of what caused the flood according to the scriptures. Not according to science now. According to the scriptures. Now let's see. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the foundations of the great deep broken. See that one? All the foundation of the gate is broken up. Now, and the windows of heaven are opened. See that one? So two sources of the flood, really, So, and the walls, the foundation of the great deep broken up, is a hint that tremendous gravitational forces were at work. The delicate balance of the forces of nature would have been upset, and the gentle rhythm of the seasons disturbed with the change in the year, you see? So that's what it is to the change in the year and all that, Now, before the flood, there was no record of rain. As far as the scripture says, there was no rain before the flood. That's what the scripture says. Genesis 2:5 says that, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Verse 6. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So that's what happened right there. There are two sources of that flood and so on. Scientists measure. Today we measure rain, right? Oh, 0.1 inch. In Arizona, 0.1 inch of rain. Nigeria, you can have like 3 inches of rain and so on. But they even say that, even if in the flood, if it will be rain alone, even 250 inches of rain for 40 days, we don't have covered the whole house. To show you that the Bible says, there are 2,000 of that flood and so on, Anyway, one other physical phenomenon must be noted. The tilt of the earth on its own axis is 23.5 degrees, this is excessive, really, and it accounts largely for the harshness of the weather you and I see today, the seasons and so on. The summer are too hot, and the winters are too cold for comfort in most regions of the earth. Some believe that the catastrophe of the flood was responsible for this extreme tilt of the earth axis. So the same thing happened according to what happened during that flood and so on. That shift in the earth axis happened during the flood and so on. So these two effects now, apparently, meaning the tilt of the earth axis, one, number two, the recession, of the earth orbit away from the sun, have thrown the delicate balances of nature out of adjustment. Storms, tornadoes, cyclones, hurricanes, monsoons, and other meteorological disturbances of nature seasonally destroy life and property to the measure of many billions, we all know that today, of dollars, and leave behind scenes of death and destruction. Now we are entering the season. Now, as we enter summer, you hear in all those, thank God we don't see much of those things around our area here. So you see that. Man's sins, what does it mean? Man's sins have affected the earth in many ways. And all is not good at the present time. See? The one perfect climate of Eden has been seriously affected. Talking about, the loss and the restoration of the calendar year, right? So we lose that. Something has gone wrong, I can be saying, with the foundations of the earth, as declared in the scripture. Now, let's see what happened. The 360 day will be used during the 70th week. I already mentioned this in Revelation, during the tribulation. Let's look at the 70th week. We believe that, the 360 day year will be used. And the 70th week of Daniel will be fulfilled at the end of the age, just before the millennium. See? Its fulfillment dates from the confirming of a 7-year covenant. We are all familiar with that right now, after all these years. So, the 7-year covenant by the Antichrist with Daniel's people, meaning the Jews. Daniel 9:27 says, "And it shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." And I want to read the covenant, because we are living at the end of the age. We have to be familiar with these things, amen? Praise the Lord. Get covered at and so on. Even after Peter said that, even though you know these things, and so you say it anyway, praise the Lord. So, Isaiah 28:15 tells us about the covenant. "Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with her are we at agreement. So because of that, when the overflowing courage shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, they say. For we have made life our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus said the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make it. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of life, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death, to Israel now, shall be dissolved, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be flooded down by it." Now, so we are seeing that the covenant and so on, that in the midst of the week of the 7 years, or after 3.5 years, the beast will break his covenant and set off the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation marks the beginning of the great tribulation. That is in Matthew 24:15-21. The great tribulation is to last for, already before, I don't have to read that again, a time, and time, and half a time. That's Revelation 12:14, which I read before. So that's 42 months, which I read before. So, 13:5 of Revelation says so. 1260 days. So, in the Great Tribulation, that 360 calendar, days calendar will be restored during the Great Tribulation as it went through before. Now, another thing is this. In comparison to the above thing, 360, 42 months in time, and and time, and half a time, and so forth, they all mean the same thing. This means the 70th week of Daniel, of which 3.5 years is only the half, is composed of calendar years of 360 days, even as near to us as the 70th, I don't know how near it is, but all we know is it's not far away. Given the event we are seeing in the world today, how can it be far away? When you want to look at what God is doing, or God's time, look at history, look at what Israel is doing today, we see a mediation, of the king of the south, when Alan shoot those over 300 drones, to Israel. I believe U.S. and many prophetic them that U.S. is the king of the south, whether with England, as well as that, what will the king of the south do? Anyway, we see that Britain, or of course Jordan even help and so for that, shut down most of those drones, over Israel and so that, So we know, at the end of the age, when the Antichrist rise and so forth, when the Antichrist rise, now initially the U.S. won't do anything. Because why? Like I read to you, there's a covenant with the Jews, right? And it's acting like a friend of the Jews, right? So U.S. will not do anything. Well, I don't care what they are. They are good to our ally, Israel, right? So they won't do anything, But at the end of the 3.5 years, go to that temple and say, I'm that Messiah, and begin a persecution of the Jews and the Christians, then the U.S. will wake up, And not only that, Russia coming down from the north and so forth, coming to take his point, that's when the U.S. gets up. All right. Anyway, so we see that there, So look at Israel. So that I'm saying that, so as close as the 70th week may be, I don't know the day it starts, the 360 day year will be restored going forward, I believe, as you know. Now, to see that years of 360 days are involved in three distinct periods of time. 360 day year are involved in three distinct Bible recordings. Number one, before the flood. Number two, that is 70th week. And in the coming millennium. Like I said before, 70th week is not the millennium, right? When it strikes, we can see the beginning of God begin to restore the 360 day year. Now the question is this. The millennium is the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bear the typhoon. When the King of Glory is bringing upon his heart, the Creator, he make a little demo for us. On the Sea of Galilee, while he was sitting behind the boat and so forth. There was a great storm and so forth. Martha, care not that we perish. And he woke up, peace be still. There was a great calm. And he marveled, what manner of man is this? That even the winds obey him, innit? How can he not obey the Creator? Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyway, so where is typhoon and tornado? Why God of glory is living in Jerusalem? I don't think so. So that would be a restoration. That's what happened in the millennium then. According to the scripture, there will be another solar disturbance at the end of the age that will shake the earth. And Isaiah 2:20 says this. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each one for himself, to worship, to the mold and to the bath, to go into the cleft of the rock, start a book of Revelation, right? And into the top of the ragged rock, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty. See? When he arises and shakes terribly the earth, So like in the flood, there'll be a great shaking of this earth, no, at the end of the age. The revelation of the coming of Christ, I always distinguish the coming of the Lord to make sure what you are talking is plural, not just one event. I call the first one is the rapture, right? The other one is revelation of the second coming, which is when what we see him. I always call it revelation second coming of Christ. Anyway, so the revelation second coming of Christ will be preceded by the darkening of the sun and the moon. That is in Matthew 24, about 29 verse. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. See what I'm talking about? At the end of the age, there'll be another shaking, you know, on this planet and so on, at the heaven. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So we are also told that the path of heaven shall be shaken in Luke 21:26. Men's hearts, treading them for fear, after looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the path of heaven shall be shaken. It will be a great shaking. And don't forget, last week or so, we talked about something like that and so on. The greatest earthquake of that time, we talked about the crossing signs, right? The greatest earthquake of all time. No, it will happen. Revelation chapter 16. Bible says, speak the matter of olives. I kind of that, you know. And the city of the nations fell. The Bible says, the greatest earthquake of all time. And the living water flowing out of Jerusalem to the former sea, Mediterranean Sea, to the Hindu Sea, the Dead Sea, which is right now, as it is dead, you can't fish, you can't drink, you can't plant, but when it flows to it at that time, it will be sweetened as well as you know. Anyway, so we see, so great an earthquake and so forth. Will that be when the earth axis will be rising back to where it was? I don't know how God will do it, but we believe that when the King of Glory is reigning, I mean, this thing will be rattled and so on. Now, this substantial alteration of the climate. Let me see here. So sorry, I think I need something here. We are also, yeah, that's right. This substantial alteration of the climate that we are having right now, which has brought suffering and tragedy to countless millions, will be corrected at the beginning of the millennium. Yes, how can the King of Glory be here? Then there is no coverage in Jerusalem. And then you can't go over there, the Creator is here, going to make everything that, you know. So, at the beginning of the millennium, a restoration of, talking about the laws, and the restoration of the calendar year, I'm talking about this morning, we see how it was lost, the apostasy of the, you know, of the antediluvians, and so on, that, you know, caused everything to be thrown out of order. So, and anyway, a restoration of Edenic climate will take place as Isaiah the Messianic prophet told us. Let me read some of it to us and so on that, you know. Isaiah 30 verse 26. Moreover, the light of the sun as of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. That's the millennium. The beneficial change in the climate, no doubt, will extend greatly the boundaries of the habitable areas of the earth. What thing will come through in the millennium? Restoration of the climate. Very likely, this vast, desolate region of the Arabian desert, which, according to the scripture, will be occupied by Israel at that time, will be transformed into fertility and productiveness. Of this, here comes Isaiah the prophet again, 35 of Isaiah, the first 2 verses. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose, he said. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, see, and the excellency of our God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Draw this ahead. Well, child of God, we have the kingdom of God within us. And we're going through one thing or the other. But the God of glory is with us, amen. He has not lied. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. He's dwelling in you. He's walking in you, amen. Praise the Lord.
So, what kind of way of preaching the Jewish
calendar? It's called the Julian calendar.
So the Jewish calendar?
No, Julian. I didn't say Jewish.
I know. The Jewish calendar. Because
they have their own calendar separately. Yes, that's true.
So what's the relationship between the Jewish calendar and the...
Well, they are distinct from our own. Their own month and year begin at different times. The Judaism thing is completely different from our own thing, you know. So it's completely different.
I thought the calendar was using is
Gregorian. Gregorian.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because that's introduced in leap year to the Julian.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the restoration is like when we go back to the
original calendar that God said before. You know, when everything is rising, when the earth is facing up, it's a normal time, and so that's when everything is back. And we can see this as from the Bible, as early as the 70th week of Daniel begins to take place, you know, as you can see. Mm-hmm. Anyway, now the numerical, the numerical phenomenon of the circles during the millennium indicates that the perfect year of 360 days will be restored. Now, let's quickly round up what will be happen again during that time. What will happen? The restoration. Now, see, the word of God intimated us with the cause having affected the animal kingdom. Romans 8, we order that scripture. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So the curse came on the animal kingdom also as a result of Adam's sin. This was typified, typified in the judgment that fell on the serpent. It's a type where Satan entered into him. That beast in the garden and from that, where Satan entered into that beast and so on, when he tempted Eve. While other beasts of the field did not receive the same judgment at that beast and so on, they suffered really. That's why they are all growing now. Many of the animals became predatory and bloodthirsty after that event, after the curse came. From predatory and bloodthirsty beasts. In fact, it appears from Mark 5:13, Madman of Gadara, remember? How that, can we go to that, to that pig and so on? You say, go there, something like that, you know. So anyway, that demon spirits on occasion can enter into and possess animals. Like, you know, in the Madman of Gadara, right? Although we know that only when God permits it, right? So we know that, you know. So, and, you know, Isaiah the prophet points out in dramatic language that the animal kingdom will experience a regeneration too in the millennium. Thus, such animals as the wolf, summarizing many Isaiah prophets right now, animals such as the wolf and lion will mix with the domesticated animals, as the cow and the sheep. And this is most beautifully stated in Isaiah 11:6-8. I don't have time for it, but it's right there. Obviously, these wild animals will more than be tamed, right? They are very nature. We undergo radical change because the King of Glory is here, in so much that their feeding habits will change to be altered. The lion, instead of being a carnivorous creature, will become herbivorous. Will be eating up as I say so, I don't have to go and eat all of those and so on. And we eat straw like an ox, the prophet said. Little children, we play in complete safety among them. Today, a lamb, for example, is the natural prey of a wolf, right? Not in the millennium, but in that day, the two shall dwell together. Likewise, the insect kingdom will undergo a change. The asp or viper, if you want, we have is a poisonous thing removed. And a child playing over its own will suffer no harm at all. The serpent will probably retain its ugly shape, but its fangs, which are so deadly, may be teeth as well, at the present time, will be no longer poisonous. And the prophet promised like this, the last scripture here, Isaiah 11:9, they shall not hurt nor destroy, that is Isaiah 9:11, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Praise the Lord Jesus. So just going back from the beginning, so you know what? The one that caught before, Lucifer and so forth, that's millennial time. It'd be in the bottomless pit, right? But that's 1,000 years, right? That's right. So, as God of glory is reigning, restoration of the earth and all these things will be in place. How about the bride? And a special place with the Lord in the millennium. See? So, and what a joyful thing for the elect of God. You know, so let us be encouraged. We are living at the end of time, and God is working among His people. And let us reach on out. Whatever we need, I believe the Lord has promised that He will do it. Looking at the scriptures, really, I find that many of the things we need, they are already promised. They are just a matter of us finding them and claiming them. They are in the past already. Just like our sins were already forgiven. See, the same thing. You know, Bible says, who has saved us? He has saved us according to our righteousness, which He has done, but according to His own purpose and grace, right? Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but was made manifest at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See? So that's what we should ask. Whatever we need in the Bible is right there for us to just claim it and believe God. He has said that we never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Praise the Lord with you. Always, He said. Oh, you see always? Yeah. He was the Daniel in the lion's den. Amen. Praise the Lord. Three evil children were in the fire. Was he not there? He was there. When that passed through the fire, and they with you, that shall not be burnt. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pass through the waters, not overflow you. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always our delight to speak about the things the Bible speaks about. People talk about all kinds of things. They look only on this side of things. Even Christians look on this side. If only in this world we have hope. We have all members miserable. We look ahead on what is ahead that God said we do. Thank you for the present and looking ahead for the future. One man of God said, well, you know, leave the bicycle and the automobile age alone. Let us go to the astronaut age. Meaning the high calling of God. Even by we say forgetting those things which are even past, reaching out unto those which are yet to come, by we say, I will do a new thing, He said. And it shall spring forth. Shall you not do it? I mean, shall you not see both in individual Christian life and in Christendom as a whole? So we thank you this morning. It just takes us, we are just delighted. They will know what is couched in the originality of all things. Somebody wrote somewhere there. So we thank you, Father. We are delighted to just know the things of God. You know, so we thank you this morning, just rejoicing at the real scripture. As we go this morning, Lord, we thank you for your promises, Father. We commit our way to your hand, the new way to your hand, Lord. Father God, O Lord God, that thou will order our steps. The steps of a righteous man, they are ordered of the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, remember the promise of God. Whatever is there, you know, shall prosper. It's already issued, it's already been done. We just claim it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, I shall preserve your going out, he said. I will preserve your coming, he said. I will preserve you from all evil, he said. I will say, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We were singing earlier today, not according to our own energy and so forth. John chapter 15 tells us, so without me you can do nothing. But with the Lord Jesus we can do all things. And as John 17, 20 and 21 say, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And throughout the early church and throughout the church age, every church is he that overcometh, he that overcometh, he that overcometh. Every church age, Lord, O Lord God. And somewhere he said, to endeavor to achieve the goal of the overcomer. O Lord God, grant unto us, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will thank you because he has finished it. Our overcoming is his overcoming for us. He defeated Satan for us. He was manifested to take away our sins. The same way he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Lord, we thank you. That's where our victory is, not in ourselves. It's in what the Lord Jesus has done for us. So that's why we can say in 1 John 4:4 that greater is he than that is in the world. But little children, you have overcome the wicked one. How? Through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you this morning that we are more than conquerors through you that love us. Lord, we go here evermore to be more than conquerors. And we say, Lord, and account us to what the Lord, the day and the hour we don't know. But Lord, Lord, we are watching, we are praying, and we're following your instructions. John 14, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we thank you, and if we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, my sister.